everybody. You're listening to the number one Arbitron-rated podcast in the Western Hemisphere, the DreamStation.cc video game show. This is show number 84. I'm hosting this fiasco. My name's Ben, and with me today are the recently separated conjoined twins, Chris.
Hello.
Scott.
I'm playing Pokemon, and I'm proud.
And as an added bonus, we've also got Jason, a.k.a. Nightsword from the forums.
Yo!
All right. As always, check out the site while you can and while it's running.
And when it's up.
The address is www.dreamstation.cc. New to the site is an interview with David Foster from Digital Leisure. He's one of the programmers of Dragon's Lair. We've also got my review of Wii Play, as well as an interview with Jeremy Soule, the composer of The Elder Scrolls IV Oblivion, among many other stellar works of artistry. His work will be featured at the Play Symphony, which I'll be attending in San Jose in less than 2 weeks.
And I wanted to apologize for the site being down this past week. See, what actually happened is I went upstairs and left the basement, and I thought the guys were riding the bicycles. But little did I know, they ordered in pizza and had strippers down there when I went back down. A couple days later, there was Ben and Jason and Scott and all those guys. They were off the bike, and they were just, you know, eating pizza and
playing World of Warcraft.
Yeah. playing, you know, the strippers are there. They were playing the Wii or with their Wii or whatever. Did I say that? anyways, that's why the site was down. So they're back on the bikes now. We're good to go.
See, anyway, in today's show, I wanted to bring up a few topics, those flavorful topics that will make your mouth water. Those being, the PS3 is too big for Japan, like Godzilla big. Let the countdown to Halo 3 begin now.
I'm picturing like a PS3 standing there with like people pointing at it.
Yes. Someone make me like a little Photoshop thing.
All right. We could actually have a live studio audience then, you know, the airport people.
That would be awesome.
Anyways, all right, keep going.
All right,
Hold on, I'm having problems.
Wait, that's nothing new.
All right, well, he has his problems.
Of course, he comes in perfectly clear when he's saying he is having problems.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Ben's going to rattle off a bunch of news for the next 10 minutes, so we can just take a nap anyway. So go ahead.
Duel.
Go ahead, Ben.
All right, hang on.
Now he's not ready.
Okay. Nobody knows the struggles of being in second place more than Peter Moore. And there's too many games on too many systems, and they're all too long. And I think there's one more that we wanted to discuss, and that was...
Can you hear me now?
Like, we can
no,
hear
that
you.
Wasn't
Thank
the topic.
digital distribution and whether it's the wave of the future. How's that? Does that sound like a good...
That sounds good. I don't know what I sent you, but that
title.
Sounds good.
You didn't send me anything.
I sent you kind of a title-ish.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I don't know. I closed it up.
It was downloadable content, and is it the future or something? I don't know.
Oh.
Anyways, doesn't matter.
Downloadable content, and is it the future? Something or other.
Yeah, whatever.
Can anyone Let's hear
move
me?
On
okay.
to some.
Yes, we can hear you, Scott.
No, Skype says I'm not talking sometimes.
Let's move on to some rapid-fire stuff. First of that being Final Fantasy IV is getting a DS remake. The DS Opera web browser is coming June 4th, on or approximately June 4th, for the DS Lite version. And the DS old-school DS Heavy version will be available online.
And that's for the U.S. market, because Europe and Asia, or Australasia, or whatever it was called. We should call them Astro-Asia. They already have it.
Oh, okay. Wii Virtual Console added another 3 games this week. Pac-Man, Ninja
yes.
Gaiden, and Ninja
yes.
Spirit.
No.
This is Ninja Gaiden from the NES days.
Yeah.
The one that was, like, impossibly hard.
Yes.
Yeah. I have a story about that, but I don't know if it's that entertaining.
Love to hear it another day. The Wii is also getting an exclusive Legends of Soul Calibur game, as well as a new Rygar game. So that's cool. Aegis Wing, I don't know how you say it. I'll just say Aegis. A new side-scrolling shooter, or shmup, if you like.
Did you just call me a shmuck?
Yeah. It's a free Xbox Live arcade game for a limited time, so go and download it while you can, while it's free.
Yeah, that's true.
Possibly by the time you hear this, it won't be free anymore. So
when they add that that term limited for a limited time, it adds that sense of urgency that you have to download it now.
Well, yeah, I had to get in the first day because,
yeah,
I don't know.
You're like waiting at midnight.
All right, what else? Xbox Live Arcade is getting Bomberman this summer. So.
The Saturn version or which version do we know now?
Probably the NES version. Well, it's going to be an updated date of the, maybe the Saturn version.
The Saturn version was probably the best maybe ever.
Yeah.
That latest X, what was that for Xbox 360? That new 3-1, that new 3D
Act
one.
Zero, yes.
Yeah, X-Zero.
Scary Halo looking one.
It supposedly sucked.
They're also getting a Prince of Persia remake.
Yes.
The original Prince of Persia.
Yes.
Be made to look like the newer ones. So
yes. Go Prince of Persia.
Saints Row 2 is coming to the PS3 and 360 in 2008.
Great.
And the PS3 version of the original Saints Row looks like it's been canceled.
So. Oh, I'm upset.
Does anyone?
I have my pre-order in.
We're all upset now. Let me see.
I'm selling my PS3.
Of the top 20 games in Japan most recently, all 20 of them were for Nintendo systems. 4 were Wii games, and 16 were DS games.
That's
kind of like
what
a big
Japan does.
That's a big turn of what it was maybe like a year, 2 years ago when everything was like PS2. Remember?
Yeah. But they're like amazingly crazy about the handheld systems now, especially the DS. So.
They are, but even then, I mean, the first non-Nintendo game was number 22 on the sales list, and it was a PSP game. So
wow.
Crazy. All right, here's some hardware sales for April from the NPD group. So it looks like Nintendo DS sold 471,000 units. This is a United States, or at least North America.
I think it's worldwide.
No, it's North America.
North America.
All right.
So
we need to come up with like a term for that. That would be like we have to somehow mix like Canada, the word Canada, United States, and Mexico into one like word.
America.
America?
North
America?
No, just something like, you know, Camerico or something.
All right, so yeah, Nintendo DS sold 471,000 units. The Wii sold 360,000. The PS2 was 194,000. The PSP was 183,000. The 360 had sold 174,000. The Game Boy Advance surprisingly sold 84,000. And lo and behold, the PlayStation 3 sold 82,000. And the GameCube was, well, it was the GameCube, 13,000.
Who's still buying GameCubes?
The people who can't find Wii's.
I guess.
I think
the people
so.
Who want to do those experiments where they see how much abuse they can endure. I would enjoy watching those.
I know. Yeah. 13,000 people bought a GameCube. That's amazing.
Well, because it's only $100.
I guess.
It's not even that. Most places you could probably find it for 60.
Probably. And then used, you probably get it for less than that. I don't know, probably, what, 50 bucks or something? The price of a game? They'll probably
give
you a free game with it.
I don't know if used would factor into this.
No, it wouldn't show up on here. See, that's the thing. You're missing out. You were kind of ripping on PS3, saying 82,000 new ones only sold. But, you know, little do you know, like 500,000 used ones sold.
Tomb Raider Anniversary is coming to the Wii. Earlier. Tomb Raider Anniversary. PC owners can now download a demo for Capcom's Lost Planet. For all the people who wonder why we don't do PC stuff. There you go.
Wow. They'll listen to the whole show and get 5 seconds of PC knowledge.
Hey, that's all you need.
Squaresoft announced the new expansion for Final Fantasy XI.
Oh, all right, okay.
There we go. We got more PC stuff coming.
Solid.
There we go. Well, is that for 360 and
PS2? 360, PS2, and PC. It's titled Wings of the Goddess and will involve some form of time travel aspect to it. That's all that's really been announced so far.
And Michael J. Fox?
Are they following up on you know, the time travel of Warcraft?
Who cares?
To answer Squad's question, yes, it does seem somewhat like WoW's where you go back to visit and fight and deal with past events. But you gotta remember, Squaresoft did make Chrono Trigger a decade ago. So if they're copying anyone, they're copying themselves.
Excellent. Alright, so PS3 owners will get a limited edition version of John Woo's Stranglehold, complete with a new HD version of the Hong Kong actioner Hard Boiled, to which the game is a pseudo-sequel to...
That's a good movie. You guys seen that movie?
Nope.
No.
I've seen some of it, and that's That's like the original bullet time kind of thing.
Yeah, and like bullets galore. Have you guys ever seen the Replacement Killers?
No.
It's similar to Replacement Killers, but there's just like tons more bullets being flying everywhere.
John Woo has made like no good American movies, but that's neither here nor there. DS owners will be able to download demos at the airport now, as Delta Airlines will begin to feature download stations, although only in a couple of airports for now. But that's pretty cool. The creator of Loco...
Yeah, but wait a minute. You can play it while you're in the airport, but then if you take it on the plane, they're going to tell you, turn off all electronic equipment, and then you lose your downloadable game you're going to play on the plane. That sucks.
Yeah, well,
and then, when I'm in the airport, I'm in standby, I guess, yeah.
All right, so the creator of Loco Roco says... PSP needs more original games and less sequels. In related news, Loco Roco is getting a sequel and may be coming to the PSP.
Surprise.
Well, those little Loco Roco guys just multiply like crazy, so, you know, they're going to have multiple sequels. They're like rabbits.
Shadowrun, which comes out very shortly.
Similar, like, if they're like rabbits, we need to get a Loco Roco with a pancake on his head.
Okay, so Shadowrun, which comes out, I think, next week, maybe? I'm not sure. It's going to cost... $50 for the PC version and $60 for the 360 version, despite them being the exact same game. Isn't that nice of Microsoft? Mm-hmm. And then to all of our Korean
listeners... It costs more to make that 360 packaging.
Sure. You can spin it any way you want to, but that's bad.
Coming out May 29, 2007, just so you know.
Okay, so 2 weeks from now. To all our Korean listeners, get ready, because in about a month... You too can be ignoring all the PS3s on store shelves when the PS3 launches in Korea. Now, I'm not sure if that's the good Korea or the bad Korea, but it's one of them. Or maybe
the
both.
The fun Korea where people die from living in gaming bars.
No, I'm jumping back to Shadowrun here real quick. Shadowrun is going to have the new Windows Live, so you're going to be able to link up with Xbox 360 players and play versus each other, if I'm not mistaken. So that live anywhere. Concept of being able to have your live ID on the PC will, I guess, be releasing on March 29th.
Woohoo! And by woohoo, I mean I don't care.
The 360 owners that are on the show, have you linked up like your MSN Messenger ID to the 360?
I don't have MSN.
Okay. I have an ID. There you go. I have an ID. I linked it, but it's the Messenger that I never use, so.
Yeah, see? I don't need another messaging program. It was a big rumor of Nintendo Power closing its doors that was spread by some ignorant website. They're not going anywhere, so Nintendo fans can breathe freely once again, and they should stop visiting IGN if they want good knowledge.
I didn't even know that was a hoax. Thank you.
there's one Nintendo fan breathing.
Buy Nintendo Power.
Keep buying it. You can keep getting your strategy guides and whatever else they sell you.
Happy little strategy guides, but I love it.
It reminds me I need to re-up my subscription now.
Did you guys go over the Elgate London paying stuff last week?
No. What about it?
Now that they announced the pay subscription plans, there's going to be a free user, and then there's going to be a paid elite user, and it's going to have all sorts of perks.
What kind of perks?
On that note.
Like horse armor or something? Or
better gear, be able to be guild officers.
Also, like anything you really want to do in the game.
Pretty much.
Great, thanks. If you want to walk around and pretend it's Second Life, you can play it for free. But if you want to actually play the game, you'll have to pay. How much is
better
the
top rates and stuff?
$9.95 a month.
That's not too bad.
That also... pay users will not have to deal with server queues, which the non-paying will have to wait in line to get on, and just other random.
Why is any other company even trying to bring out an online role-playing game when like World of Warcraft is just dominating? Well, why bother? They should be able to make add-ons for World of Warcraft, like special ones just for that, like.
Lord of the Rings, World of Warcraft.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it should be. You should just quit focusing on your own game and make an add-on for World of Warcraft.
Of course, the Hellgate London people are the programmers that originally created the first Diablo, They may know.
I didn't know what the big reason was for the big fuss here. Let us move on now. First order of business today being the PS3 is too big for Japan. Like, God.
Ah!
Godzilla!
No, it's Gojira.
Gojira!
Oh no, it's Gojira!
By far one of the best stories I've heard in the past week. Nana An Shah head Masayoshi Matsuura has gone on record to say that one of the main reasons he sees the PS3 falling behind in sales to the Wii in Japan is because it's, quote, too big, unquote,
hey, tank,
for Japanese consumers' taste.
Well, that's what they said about the Xbox. That's why it didn't sell. And now the PS3 is as big or bigger than the Xbox. So what did they expect?
But it's shiny and it looks sleek.
And it's not because of the credit card crushing price tag or even the lack of games, but it's just too big of a system for the Japanese people to embrace. And then he talks about the 360, and he says the size is okay, but the AC power brick is too big. So I think everything's just too big for Japanese people, except for the DS Lite. And then he doesn't mention anything about the size of the Wii, because, you know, why would you talk about the size of the Wii? It's all about the motion in the ocean, baby. But he does go on to say that he has a game ready to begin development very soon. And then for those of you wondering who this guy even is, he's the creator of the Pa Rappa series, which we discussed last week and love tremendously, as well as the Vib Ribbon games and Tamagotchi Corner Shop titles. So primarily his focus is on rhythm games, but, you know, whatever he makes for the Wii, he says will be a simple game and require only one button. So as long as it's as cool as Pa Rappa, I'm good with it.
You gotta do what?
You gotta believe.
That's right.
I did like Pa Rappa the Rapper, though.
Great game, and it's getting the remake.
That's pretty much it. That's all you can say.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, flat out with the size and stuff of the PS3, I mean, that I could see why it's not selling that way, and I can see why the Wii is selling, because they designed it specifically to be able to be, like, stuck next to your TV or, like, you know, behind it, out of the way. You know, that's why it's all wireless. That's why they did that, too, so it could be out of the way. And, you know, even the 360 is pretty big in size. That power brick, like the guy's saying, it's big. You pull the 360 out of the box, and you're like, oh, it's not too bad. And then you get this power brick that's one-fourth the size of the system. So,
yeah.
Then the PS3 was, I didn't expect it to be as big as it was. When I pulled it out of the box, I was like, holy cow, this thing's huge, you know. But it's a tank, too. It's heavy, but.
Yeah, and especially, I think, when you can compare it to the PS2 Slim.
Yeah, oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, even sitting, I have my PS2 sitting next to it, and it, like, towers over that, even. So I don't know why they designed it. I mean, they had to make it that big, I guess, for cooling and everything that's in it. But, you know, they knew that Microsoft had problems with the Xbox. But once again, I guess probably Sony was just thinking, like, oh, it's a Sony. They'll buy it, you know.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if we make it the size of a Buick. They'll buy it.
Do they have Buicks in Japan? I'm not sure.
I don't know. I don't know if they'd physically fit on their roads or somewhere.
It's as big as a bicycle. It's as big as a bullet train.
There you go.
All right, anything else? Anyone? Let the countdown for Halo 3 begin now, September 25th.
25th.
Mark that day on your calendar, because that's the day Halo 3 launches in the U.S. The U.K. will see the launch on the next day. So get your pennies saved up, clear off your calendars, make sure no one's having a wedding on or around that date. If your birthday is that day, make sure to have a Halo 3 party and get someone to buy you the game. Yeah.
Hold on.
What?
Hold on, I'm going to get a countdown.
Countdown. In other news, the Halo 3 beta began, although for some it started earlier than others, because apparently those people who got the invitation from buying Crackdown were not allowed in at first.
Were locked out.
Locked out, like a jilted ex-lover. And as a result, they had to fix that little bug, so now they've extended the beta by another 4 days.
They should have let the people that bought Crackdown in first, since they made Crackdown be a million-selling game, just because of the Halo 3 beta, probably. Because
they actually paid for something, and everyone else just got in on pure luck.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, people actually, I would like to know the breakdown of how many people bought Crackdown because of the Halo 3 beta and how many people actually really wanted Crackdown. And it would be interesting to see, like, the online gameplay of people playing Crackdown now that the Halo 3 beta's out and from now on, or is everybody going to unload the game after the beta's over, you know? It's not a bad game, but, you know, but if it didn't come with the Halo 3 beta, would people have actually bought it and played it, like it actually got the recognition that it did because of that? I don't think so. I think it was a big. I think it was a great marketing ploy.
Yeah. So yeah, did you actually get to play the Halo 3 beta yet, or did you just download it?
Me?
Yeah.
I was one of the jolted Crackdown people. So I tried last night about 7 o'clock Eastern, and it kept saying come back at a later date to download Halo 3, and I was like, I thought it was supposed to be today. So then I tried again last night around 10:30-ish, and there was another update for Crackdown, and once the update was installed, then I was able to get on. But Marketplace and that download and everything was so dog slow last night that it started at like about 10:30. I started downloading, and at about 12 o'clock or so, it was only at 30% download. So I was like, forget it, and I turned it off. So I'm going to try again maybe tonight, or I don't know.
It's only three maps, right?
Yeah, it's not that much. It's like a 900 meg download.
So that's the typical. That's the typical demo size. Typical demos are about 1 gig.
It's Snow, I think. There's a regular one in the remake of Zanzibar.
Okay, I don't know the game, so you can say whatever you want.
I don't know it either. I don't even know an Xbox. I just know these things.
Nobody knows the struggle of being second place more than Peter Moore. The head boss over at Xbox 360 land says that Sony's market dominance over the past two generations of console hardware has put them in an unfamiliar position with the PS3, one that the silver medalist Peter Moore is all too familiar with. You see, he once worked for Reebok, where they were in direct competition with Mikey and were second place. Then moved on to Sega, where they were second to Nintendo and Sony. Sega went third party, and he played second fiddle to EA. And now he heads Microsoft, where for the past few years he's been forced to wear the silver medal once again to Sony's gold.
You know, second place is just the first loser. So
exactly. That's why it's better to be first or third, because if you're first place, you got the gold medal, right? If you're bronze, you're like, woohoo, at least I got something.
At least I got something. Thank you
silver,
for playing.
You're your first place of the losers.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so in an interview with Newsweek's, again, I'm going to butcher this guy's name, and Guy Kroll back in January, that's only been published now. It's not even published completely. It's a four-part interview. They're up to three parts so far.
Okay.
Anyway, he went on to say this about Sony's current position. Quote, I often wonder whether that has been in the last 6 to 9 months part of Sony's problem, where you get this concept of the arrogance of the incumbent. You don't know failure and you don't know struggle because all you've known is success. As a result, you have a different bearing on the way you do business every day because it comes from a platform of being number one and successful, instead of a platform of being number two and striving for success, end quote. So I don't know. He can spin it any way he wants, but, you know.
Well, I mean, since Sony's been hurting in general, like not just game systems, but, you know,
TVs.
Electronics, TVs, everything lately they've been hurting and
exploding,
kind of fumbling.
Batteries.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they've been fumbling trying to figure out, you know, what's going on. Like we used to always be number one, and now we're not.
Well, yeah. And, you know, I think it all started with the MP3 player. That was kind of like their downward spiral.
Yeah, yeah, because they decided to not support MP3 and do their own special format. And
then they got killed by the iPod, and then they were just too late to do anything, and they still haven't recovered from that, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, didn't they do 8-track standard or something like that, it was called?
Well, they did Betamax.
Yeah, they did Betamax, yeah. They always try to do their proprietary things, like the UMD disc and Betamax and 8-track. And, I mean,
probably having some luck with Blu-ray.
Yeah, somewhat. Yeah.
For now.
Well, and like memory sticks, at least with the memory stick, they let, I think it was a joint partnership with SanDisk to make memory sticks to develop that technology. So there was actually like SanDisk and Sony and Lexar or somebody.
That was what it was called.
Yeah, they had a few companies making them, so there was a little bit of competition compared to some of this stuff where it's just Sony and that's it. I mean, I understand trying to keep your, you know, cards close to you. That's what they're doing, and that's how they figure they can make the most money if they have everything. They make everything, but sometimes it causes people to get irritated by it.
Well, no, and it's funny because here's this guy talking about, you know, Sony being in second place or, you know, them being in unfamiliar territory. Well, I mean, they did launch you know, a year later. I mean, even if the Xbox 360 sold one unit in 1 year, you know, Sony still would have been in second place, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So,
I mean, Sony, actually, Sony's always launched second, didn't they? Because Sega released the Saturn, like, early. It was supposed to release it right around the same time as the PlayStation. They actually launched, like, in April at Toys R Us only. Got a bunch of other stores mad at them because they only were available at Toys R Us. And then the PS2 launched, what, a year after Dreamcast? And now here, once again, the PS3 launches, you know, a year after the 360.
Well, Dreamcast is 99. Right. PS2 is 2001? 2000?
2000, because that's when the FF10 came out.
The other thing, Peter Moore is going to have to get used to second place again, because I don't know if you saw, according to VG Charts, they said that Nintendo has shipped or has sold over 7 million Wiis. So,
well, but they'll spin that and say that the Wii is not in the same, not going after the same market as the 360, yeah, right? That's what they'll do.
Of course, they can say that. Well, and according to the same charts, the 360 is up to 9.7 million. So 6 months, they've done what the 360 had probably done in well over a year.
Yeah, Nintendo will end up upselling everyone.
Yes.
Well, then that's domination.
And that was what I was reading. I think it was in Game Informer, the latest issue. They were saying that, you know, Nintendo actually could be ramping up production even more and selling even more. But they're saying, is this also just, are they trickling this stuff over here so it keeps so it keeps the rarity, you know, going, so they actually can, you know, continue the public relations, the push or whatever of, oh, it's sold out everywhere, you have to get it. Because I guess a lot of the smaller stores are only getting, they're getting systems in every week, but they're only getting like two or three. So they're keeping that oh, I got to have it and I can't find it anywhere, you know, image going. Because the analyst or whatever also was saying, like, you know, Nintendo really could be airlifting all this stuff over here to get it over here quicker, but they're still just shipping by boat and doing their old, you know, technique, yeah, and their old technique of, you know, being conservative. They don't want to spend a lot of money to get the systems over here, so they're trying to, you know, keep costs down, so they're shipping it by boat instead of airlifting it like Microsoft did with the 360s and some of the other people did at launch to get them over here as fast as possible. You know, it's just the way Nintendo wants to do stuff, I guess, you know.
It's the way they do business.
Do you think the Wii would be selling as well if you could walk into any Best Buy and there was a big stack of them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think people would be buying them up or not?
Everyone I've talked to, they want one, but they can't get one, and that's so many people. I can only think of 3 or 4 people, I mean, that I can pick out of anywhere that actually have a Wii. Although that
do they want it because they can't get it, or do they want it no matter what? You know what I mean? Like, is it because they can't get it? Is that the reason why everybody wants one right now?
It's an interesting conundrum.
But yeah. Look at the DS. There's finally stacks of them everywhere, and they still the number one game system at $470.
Well, the DS was kind of hard to find there for a while too after Christmas. But yeah, it's selling pretty well though.
There's, well, the pink ones and the black ones. I'm saying I brought it into school because we had a free day off once, and it was basically me and my 45-minute sales pitch for the Wii, and everyone there had, like, an epiphany. I gotta have one of these. No one has been able to find one since then.
Once they do start getting them in the stores where they're easy to find, will this sales just continue as is, or will it slow down, you know?
Well, I think you gotta see games, too. So.
Yeah,
people don't
yeah.
see games. People see Wii Sports.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people that want to buy it just for that. You know, they'll buy it and play that, play maybe Wii Play and pick up a couple other, you know, here and there. But it's a fun game to just pick up, you know, and play or show people, or, you know, you get people that normally wouldn't play games playing that game. That's the thing that I think that's what's attracting so many people to the system, is that game appeals to pretty much everybody across the board.
And of course, the Wii demand should go up even more because it's finally games. Good games are finally starting to... not to say the other games aren't good. The games that people have been waiting for are finally starting to...
I really can't say that there's anything really good out there now, except for Twilight Princess, of course. There's nothing...
WarioWare.
I just have... No, I mean, not even that. I don't have to have that.
I wanted that, but I never got it yet.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing I mean. It's just... It's not... It's good, but it's not enough incentive to go out and buy it.
Mm-hmm. Super Paper Mario.
And there's a... 4 days left till the website launch of Super Smash Brothers.
Yeah. Give
That's
me a release
a different
date.
Story.
Yeah, give me a release date. Don't give me a website announcing
a website.
Yeah. But then again, once that website launches, it probably will have the release date.
Right.
It's the Japanese website.
It's both, actually.
There's all the logos I've seen are in Japanese.
No, it's one side's going to be the link to the Japanese site, and there's the English side on the other.
Yeah, because it's a .com. It's not like .jp or something like that. Yeah. So.
.co.jp.
No, it's just www.smashbros.com.
All right, let's move on. All right, because this is one that I actually wanted to get to last week, but for whatever reason, we didn't get to it.
I wasn't here.
Oh, that's the reason. Oh, wait, no, never mind. That's not the reason.
I know you just stopped doing things because I wasn't around.
Off your temporary ban from the show. All right, there's too many games on too many systems, and they're all too long. At least according to Dennis Dyack of Silicon Knights, developers of the upcoming Too Human game for 360, or I guess Too Human Trilogy. In an interview with Matt Martin for GamesIndustry.biz, he went on to talk about some interesting stuff, like his work with Miyamoto and his work with Kojima.
There we go.
When they did the Metal Gear Twin Snakes remake and some other stuff, blah, 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 whatever. Anyway, he goes on to talk that he feels that there should be one, like, unified, universal console, because in the end, gamers end up losing by being forced to purchase three different consoles to play all the really great games on, you know, each one.
Well, there is a way around that where you only need a computer, but we'll not get to that.
Yeah. Now, so when discussing the two human proposed trilogy of games, he says this about whether it's bold or not to think that the public will consume those three games. He says, "Well,
you can go with the same."
Don't interrupt me when I'm quoting.
I was you don't need quote quote me. Okay?
I was in quote mode.
Quote mode is fine when I'm not talking. Advent Rising was supposed to be a trilogy, but I think only two games of that, and it's been the same hype with this that was with Advent Rising. But Too Human, it might end up being the same thing.
Yeah, and that's kind of I'll get to that a little later. Let me just go on to his quote here. So he says, "I don't see it as bold. I see that as a promise to the consumer that there's more here than just one game. Legacy of Kain had about 60 hours of play, but games have changed. People don't want that anymore. I don't care how good the game is. I don't want to play something that's 100 hours long," end quote. I think it's partly true, because most of the people I know who are adults, obviously, they're older. That, you know, you have less and less time to play games. When you do, you know, you want it to be a more, I guess, more of a linear game in a way. You don't want to be searching, you know, game facts or something like that for you know, the walkthroughs, because you can't find out, you know, how to pass this one part or whatever. But I'm not sure whether we need games to be broken up into pieces or if we need episodic content, because like you were saying about Advent Rising, I mean, what happens if the first title doesn't sell well? I mean,
well, it was the Xbox game, and then it came out on the PC, and then they put the second one on the PSP, and I have heard nothing about the third one.
Well,
right, and there was supposed to be a $1 million tournament or something like that for Advent Rising, but because it sold so poorly, had to cancel that. So, you know.
Yeah, the same thing happened with Xenosaga. It was going to be, what, six games, and they truncated it down to three?
And each of those games was like 60 hours each or something on those, you know. Well, there's games like Sam & Max on the PC that's episodic that seems like, you know, that actually doesn't seem like a bad way. It's you download it, it's a smaller game, you pay less money, you know. But that type of game maybe is more that type of game that would work in an episodic type thing.
Red,
you know,
has quote mode. I have Sam & Max mode. Don't get me started.
And Bandai's doing the episodic thing again with another Dot Hack series, which is,
again,
40, 50-hour games each.
Mm. It's funny, in the I get Play Magazine, and the editor in there has talked multiple times about games, you know, being too long anymore, and that people give, like, reviewers give a game a bad score if it only takes like 10 or 20 hours to beat. They say, like, oh, it was too short, but his take on it is like, you know, why do we want games with, like, filler levels that are just, like, making, like you're saying, Ben, that you're, like, walking around forever? Really, you know, the developer just added it in there to, like, pad the length of the game so it's a longer game, and you don't really need it in there. And I mean, I know, like myself, you know, I don't have time to play as many games and as long as I'd like to, as, you know, compared to what I used to. A lot of these games that are 40, 60, 80 hours, like, I don't have enough time to play that long. And
well, look
I
at the
do.
Metroid games. Those are usually cap in no more at 10, and they're just great games.
Yeah, yeah.
Albeit, yeah, they pad it with backtracking, but that's still great length, and at least you're getting rewarded for the gameplay that you put into it.
Exactly. I mean, the whole time you're playing, you're actually playing, like, new, different things, and you're not just having to just do the same thing over and over and over with a different-looking level. I kind of wonder sometimes, like, these developers, and it seems like a lot of times the first levels in the games are, like, maybe the levels they start off creating, and then the later levels are the ones that look nicer and better because they've had more time to work with the engine and everything. But a lot of people never even get to see those levels, you know, further up. These developers work all this time on creating these levels, and a lot of people probably never get to them.
Right, and that's kind of one of the things that he brought up when he was talking about working with Kojima, is how he was saying that he had planned on this really cool stuff for later on in Eternal Darkness, but what he was saying was that Kojima said, why would you do that? Most people don't even get to see, won't even get that far into the game. It's like, you need to have action, like, from the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you gotta get them hooked in order to even, you know, get them to go that far into the game, so.
Yeah.
Well, the psychosis effects in that game should have been a hook enough. That game was just freaky to play.
That game was awesome. Well, one of my more favorite GameCube games.
What?
And highly recommended if you just got a Wii.
For the Wii.
Got a GameCube. Pick up Eternal
Metroid?
Darkness.
We have a review.
Get Metroid.
We have your review of it, Ben, I think, on the website under GameCube.
That's too awesome. By the way, I tried many, many times to get Dennis Dyack to do an interview for us. Stonewalled every time.
Oh, of course.
He's too big for that.
Penny Arcade was bashing him, too.
Ben gave Eternal Darkness a 9 out of 10 on his website review back on June 29th, 2003.
And it probably still holds up really well, too, especially if it's only your first time playing.
Well, until the Resident Evil remake, it was pretty much the only decent adult game on the GameCube.
All right, we better go on to the next topic here, Ben, or we're never going to get this done.
Something about digital downloadable content and something or other.
Is it the wave of the future?
So this was kind of my idea that I made
up
on the fly. But
why I didn't have a title or anything.
Yeah, exactly. So anyways, last night, you know, the whole Halo 3 beta gets launched, and I go to try to download it, and I can't get to it, and then when I do get to it, it's super slow. Marketplace in general was loading, like, really, really slow, because I was trying to get that, whatever it was, Aeris Wings or whatever it was, and that was running really, really slow. So, I mean, you know, in the future, I read an interview with one of the PlayStation, I think the PlayStation, president of PlayStation Europe, or one of the guys, I forget which guy now, sorry. But, you know, he was saying that he almost sees that the PlayStation 4 will not even have disc media anymore, and, like, downloadable games will be the wave of the future, and that's the way that we'll get all of our games from now on.
And will everyone have a fiber optic 10 megabyte?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't know what they're, you know, and, like, last night it was super slow, and, like, the, you know, the servers probably were just getting pounded with people trying to get it. Now, imagine if it was Tuesday or, like, Monday night at midnight, and Tuesday is the day they release games like they do now at Best Buy, and you have to download all the new games are going to have to be downloaded that day, and, like, how many servers, and I know they can do it, but is it going to be cost effective, and, you know, how many servers are going to have when the new Halo, you know, say Halo 4 comes out download only on whatever, June 1st, 2000, whatever, you know. You know, I mean,
just ask the guys behind the Phantom.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, what would they do? How many servers would they have to be able to handle that amount of people trying to all come in at midnight? Because, you know, they're all going to try as soon as it's released, too.
That, or they're going to do what Blizzard does with their World of Warcraft expansions and make everyone deal with BitTorrent.
Yeah, true, true. Yes. Yeah, are we going to have BitTorrent for consoles, too? You know.
He probably will do that eventually, peer-to-peer.
Probably.
Bonus points to Jason for referencing the Phantom console.
Yeah, I mean, what do you guys think on that? Do you like having a disc and in a case and actually being able to look at the manual and keep it on the shelf, or do you?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I need something in my hand.
That, with my experience with MMOs, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's just outright. You're like, yay, why am I waiting an hour for a 50 megabyte patch? and it's not because of download speed, it's just because the server or whatever's bandwidth is just getting, you just wait. There's nothing you can do because all your stuff, you're just surfing the web at light speed or whatever.
It's just the server is at dial-up speed.
Yeah.
And I mean, and the other thing, I mean, my brother and I have talked about this some, like, you know, you get these downloadable games or whatever, and then, you know, granted, while the system's still being supported, everything's cool, but say, you know, there's a lot of people who like to play old games and stuff. So say you have a PlayStation 4, whenever that comes out, and in 2025 or whatever, you pull out your PlayStation 4 and want to play it, and the hard drives or whatever is in it is dead. Well, is Sony going to still have, you know, these servers up so you can download all those games you had from before? Or are you just out of luck and, oh, well, you know, you spent all that money, you paid whatever you're going to pay for every one of those downloadable content, but now because their server's offline, you can never get it again. You know, I don't know if I like that in that respect either. Plus, like, how much would you guys be willing to still spend $50 or $60 for a downloadable game?
No, that's why I don't. Because you're paying the same amount of price right now. You're paying the same amount of price for the download as you do for the box, the printed box, the case, the disc, manual, whatever.
Yeah,
and they offer no discount for downloading this stuff.
Yeah, well, but remember, like when the PlayStation 4 comes out, games might cost more to make. So you know, at $50 or $60, it'll be a deal, right?
Cell phone is going off.
And yeah, could be. I mean,
I just don't know if I would be willing to spend $50 or $60 for something that I don't get any physical.
I thought there were talk that there wouldn't even be a PlayStation 4.
I think the team that was heading up the Phantom system are working on it now. So you know,
what you know, here's the other thing.
Don't forget, it'll be downloaded in a proprietary format, solely owned by Sony.
Sony, yeah, probably. Right. I mean, you have to have a special router and broadband modem to download it.
The other problem you run into is, maybe this isn't such a big deal for them, but like used games and stuff.
Uh-huh.
You don't have used games. What if I'm
no.
going to...
Well, they like that.
Somehow, you
that's
know.
What Sony wanted to do until everyone got wind of it with the PS3.
Right.
With their coded disc to only play on that system and no longer play anywhere else.
It's like, okay, for example, today I sent off my copy of Earth Defense Force 2017 for the Xbox 360. I'm trading it to someone else who's sending me a copy of Trauma Center, Second Opinion for the Wii.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, yeah. What happens? I mean, they have the ability; they could do this. Well, okay, what happens if Sony developed a trading system where you could trade your downloadable content and it wipes it from your hard drive, and you know Jason gets it then on his hard drive?
Oh, they'll charge you for that.
Yeah, they'll charge you a little commission for that little transaction. But
well, I mean, in that case, I might be okay with it. But in this case, it's like, what am I trading? I'm trading a 360 game for a Wii game.
The only way I see it working is if they do basically what GameTap does and just offer a subscription base and you can play whatever game you want at whatever time you want.
Okay, it's more like cable. Like,
it'd be,
or whatever,
basically,
you know,
it'd be
pay-per-view or something.
Basically, it'd be the good old Sega Channel.
Yeah.
You have that back in the day? That was
I know what you're talking about. I didn't have it, but I know what you're talking about.
I did. It was great until they got rid of it.
Yeah, and then all that stuff's gone.
And here's the other thing you run into is, I mean, let's say, you know, my neighbor has a whatever it is, the new PlayStation 4, and I have a PlayStation 4, and I say, hey, I got the new, you know, Madden, and then he goes, oh, well, hey, I've got some people over. Let's come over here and play it. And I'm like, oh, well, I can't really bring it over because I downloaded it. I mean, you can't do that anymore then, right? I mean...
Well, you can just bring your system over.
You bring the system over. Or maybe by that time we'll have...
tied to, you know, I mean, it's a...
Maybe by that time we'll have high-speed... We'll have super high-speed internet, and you can go over there, log in with your ID, and play it right off the server. What about that?
Well, okay, let's say it's not my neighbor, then. Let's say it's my brother in another state, and I don't want to take my PS4 on the plane, whatever. You know, I mean, all I want to do is play a game... Instead of just being able to take a little box with the disc in there, you know, you're
Well, in that case, you basically you'd hope that the PS3 can act as, or PS4 could act as a server, and you can just remote access to it.
I think we're done with that topic.
We're done.
Chris wanted us to do the one-page ad review preview thing, which I thought of a better name for.
And we can't remember.
Be the preview review.
Preview review. There you go. Your other one was like some sexual connotations to it.
Yeah, that was a pretty good one.
What was it?
Premature
speculation.
Something like that.
I wasn't here for that. Thanks.
No, we never did that.
I was thinking of another name for it.
Okay, if you go to the forums now, you'll see under the general discussions, VGS number 84, Forza Motorsport ad review. So, okay, I was thinking the concept of this whole thing, we're confused again, is that let's review the ad and say if we liked the ad and if it would cause us to buy the game. Let's not review the game based on the ad. Does that make sense?
Right.
We're looking at the ad and then we're going to say, would this make us buy this game? Does that make sense?
Sure.
Okay. So anyways, if you guys have, I don't know if you guys by any chance, if you want to get the smell-o-vision going, if you guys have the official Xbox magazine, June 2007,
I saw that. Was so cool.
Or the EGM, May 2007.
Dude, that was so awesome.
The
thing, and it smells like tires.
Yeah. Yeah,
oh,
so it has, do you have it, Ben?
No, okay. I haven't got my EGM yet.
Okay, it was in the issue with, it says the future of video games with the eyeball on it.
Yeah. I do have that one.
Okay, so the ad's in there, and I don't know if Jason has anything or not.
I only get gamers for Windows.
Okay, so just look at this picture. Basically what happens is that when you first open the ad up, it's the flaps closed on the right, like that first picture I'm showing.
The only thing you don't get. It says, like Scott said,
the only thing the game doesn't give you, and then you open the flap and it says, the smell. This is the scent produced by a Nissan Fairlady Z as it pulls away from the starting grid. Basically, and it smells like burning rubber when you smell it. Kind of like those perfume ads.
Truck.
It's kind of nasty smelling, actually. When I smell it, I was like, oh, man. So that's when you flip the flap open. And then on the back, there's like a bunch of details on the game and pictures of the game and whatnot. But so do you, like I posted on the forums, do you like the ad? Do you think that smell-o-vision is a neat idea or just a dumb marketing stunt?
That is the coolest ad I've ever, been graced with. I'm just going to say.
If you get, like, not that I read Cosmo or anything, but if you get any of those In Style magazine or anything, they have perfume ads all the time, or, like, I've heard of people, like, taking, like, the cologne ads and rubbing it on them, and then they smell like they're going out on a date.
Cheap people, man.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, this Friday, if you want to go out on a date and you smell like tires, just buy EGM, you rub it on you. Or if you want to tell your girlfriend you've been working on the car all day, just get that ad and rub it on you.
That's how you get the girls that hang out at the racetrack.
Exactly. Get some oil. Buy some oil, rub it on your hands, and then rub that ad on your shirt, and you're good to go.
At least you won't have to worry about being chased by mad rednecks. They'll think you're a NASCAR fan. Be your friend.
Me and Dale Jr. was hanging out at the racetrack all day.
This is his tire smell on my shirt.
Kyle. And who else? What is it like the other?
Who?
The other
NASCAR? Like the other 50-some drivers? Or are you just
like,
go to?
Like the common first names.
Oh, there's like, Jeff Gordon.
You're either Kyle.
You're either like Dale or like Bobby.
Bobby. Yeah, Bobby.
That's about it. All right, anyway. Yeah. Clever. Let's go back to the ad.
Okay, we're looking at the ad.
I like it.
Are.
Very clever.
Clever.
I mean, the images themselves, okay. But, yeah, the fact that, you've got the burning rubber smell and that stuff, I'd seriously consider buying it just based on, something funny like that.
It's fantastic.
Scott thinks it's the best ad ever.
Of course, it doesn't hurt that you know about it. You know that it's, you know, supposedly a good big game. So
yeah, yeah. But I that was one reason why I was a little bit leery of doing this one for this ad review, because it is supposed to be a really good game. I played the demo, and the demo is pretty cool. This is out of a 10. What would you guys give the ad? Not the game, the ad.
Well, for my secondhand knowledge, I guess I'd give it 9. Not perfect because it smells, but it's that high because, well, it smells.
It doesn't smell all flowery either.
No, it doesn't smell like your Cosmo magazine.
Yeah. I do wish they would have shown a little more the screens instead of just, like, in the center, you know.
Yeah, down the tire track.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it is kind of tight there. There's not a lot of detail in the screens.
It's kind of weak. But,
give it a 12
I'd say
out
like
of 13.
I give it a 10 out of 9. Yeah, it's cool, though. I like it. I could dig it.
I'd probably at least give it an. I think, like you said, the screens on the back take it down a little bit. The detail, I think they were trying to cram all the detail of what the game is to kind of appeal to the people that really are into motorsports and tuning cars and stuff. But the smelling part, the smell of vision, is that easily makes it
awesome.
A 9. Yeah, it easily makes it a 9.
Well, is it one of the... Is the ad one of those obnoxious ads that are, like, right up in the front, like, with, like,
it's,
10 or so pages?
No, it's about 10 or 20 pages in on the EGM and, I think, the other one. But it's a little bit smaller than the magazine pages, so it kind of is easy to flip to.
Okay. And so it's
just
one
like, those, go pick up any girl magazine at the store, and it's similar to those with the
cologne
and perfume.
And Chris has a much nicer scanner than I do, as you can probably tell.
Or I just know how to use it, one of the two.
Yeah, because I don't know how to, I didn't know how to use mine either.
All of you we invite to come to the forums and post your own reviews and opinions on the smelly ad that is Forza Motorsport too. And let us know what you guys think. We thought it was great, but maybe you guys thought it made you sick and barf or something. I don't know.
If only we could include the smell.
Yeah, sorry. Well, if you want to have the smell, just go out to your car and smell its tires, and it's probably similar.
All right, let's go on to the poll topic, our weekly poll topic. For those of you who don't know, we ask a question every show. You guys can go to our forums, answer, contribute, and maybe we'll read your
opinion.
Your thoughts, your opinions.
Yeah, it's under the general discussion area, so if you click the forums link at the top and then go under general discussions. And if you haven't registered yet on the forums, feel free to. It's free of charge. You buy one, get one free. I don't know. Whatever.
Unless you're a bot.
Yeah, unless you're a bot trying to spam us, then go away.
Okay. Anyway, so last show we asked you, have you joined the next generation of gaming yet? And 62.5% of the audience, or of the people reading the poll topic, said they are... Or they are a proud member, so yes, they are in the next gen. And then 37.5% said no, they're waiting it out, or actually don't have one yet. Let's see who can we read here? Omega 71, Frank.
We can read Scott's because he can't talk again. So you can.
Oh, okay. Of any of the next gen consoles, not because I don't want them, because I do. Well, I don't want a PS3 ever, but because it's hard to have a console in a one TV house. And the one TV is being used all the time by your housemate. Therefore, I do all my gaming on a PC. Will I switch to the Vista gaming platform? Probably not. Blah, blah, blah. Who else? Then Master Chief 0987 says, I'm getting my 360 tomorrow night, which he now has a 360 with Rainbow Six Vegas.
So he is a member of the next gen.
Yes.
Now, congratulations, Master Chief. Welcome to our world.
And then, let's say, Leto. I like Leto better. I have none because my friends have them all, and if I ever have an urge, I'll die of shock before I get to game.
By the way, Leto, well, she's not a gamer. She's just a girl from Australia that likes our website and harassing noobs. So that's her whole fun and enjoyment of Dream Station, so she doesn't care about gaming.
Right.
Does the DS count as a next gen? Where is
Mascots? Did he post under here? He didn't post under this one, did he?
I think that was when he was temporarily banned from the show and he was pretending like we didn't exist anymore.
Oh, I see.
That was my banning of him for being bored on the last show he appeared on.
Scott now is saying that he's stupid. He said he quoted, "I am stupid," and he said, "Come on, CNC, say it." So. He put in quotes that he said, I am stupid. So I guess he's stupid now. And probably because he can't get Skype working. I don't know. And now he's like, now he's saying, what? And then I can't say that on the air. So just, but pound, 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 pound. Cool. Jason, pick. You're the guest on the show. Which poll do you want?
Let's go with the, where you,
he doesn't
the Halo that. One. What the hell? Since that'll probably get us hit more hits than you.
That's true. I like your thinking, sir.
There we go. We've mentioned Halo multiple times in this episode, and it will be in the show notes.
Multiple times.
Update. That's the update.
Hey, there. Hey, Scott's back.
Yeah, I've been back.
All right. So the poll is, did you buy Crackdown just to get in the Halo 3 beta? Is
no.
that like, yes or no?
Yeah.
My answer is like, funny. You didn't.
Is that the poll? Is that what we decided?
Sounds good.
All right.
Good for me. All right. So that puts the gold seal of approval on this week's show.
I think this is editor's choice.
This is show 84. It's late.
It's late.
7 o'clock. I'm tired.
Seven.
You're a lightweight. You know that? Okay.
I'm malnourished, dude. I need my chili dogs. All right, so this is show 84 of the DreamStation.cc video game show. I hope you liked it. And if you didn't, whatever.
We enjoyed making it, so, you know.
We had a
that's all that counts.
Ripping exactly. on me. That's a great show.
We didn't rip on you that much today.
Enough.
Well, we wouldn't rip on you if you weren't here and gone half the time.
We did because we care.
He provides us entertainment and the fans of the show entertainment. So
again, check out the site, www.dreamstation.cc, for all your news, interviews, reviews, and then event information. We're going to the Play concert.
Also, remember to email us at videogameshow@dreamstation.cc. Send us your pictures of bunnies with pancakes on their heads with or PS3s on their heads and on console TV.
PS3? Yeah. That's cruel. That's cruel.
Preston Bobo, the guy who won the contest.
That guy's name is sweet.
Preston Bobo. I know.
Preston Bobo.
Bobo. I sent his package out today, so if he's listening.
What was the prize?
Expect it a little later. Oh, I sent him a copy of The Sims for the PS2. I sent him a PS3 lanyard and some other miscellaneous.
Did you sign his copy of The Sims?
Oh, I should have signed it. I totally should have signed it.
Yeah.
You should have sent it around to all of us and we'd sign it. Oh, if you get a P.O. box.
It would have cost like $10 to,
just to
ship it all over the world.
And then,
the
you know,
every,
each person's going to play it and then it'll be like, Preston Bobo gets like 6 months from now to get the game.
And it's all scratched out.
That's what happens when
the manual's missing and it's in the wrong case. And
then he just gets a copy.
Yeah.
It's a blank
CD. You get the soundtrack of The Sims. Dude, I sent you the PS2 game. I don't know what happened.
Tim's translation guide.
He gets the original Sims for the PC.
PC, yeah.
It's not bad.
On CDR.
All right, what else? I'm going to have another contest because that was so much fun. I forget what his memory was. His memory was, and I don't even know if it's, people said playing Mario Brothers on Atari.
Yeah, I know.
On Atari,
we need to
story than that. If I was allowed to enter, I would have won.
We never read his story. We'll have to read.
I know.
You asked for him and wanted to read him, and like we're excited about that. And then you get one, and then you don't read it.
I could read mine.
Is this like your
just
girlfriend's
story?
Just
if anyone wants me to. Oh, it's something like that. You know, rambling, long, and a lot. I have it written out right up here. You know, it's in a nice formatted Word document. I'm kidding.
Maybe I'll read it in the next show.
Right,
I wanted to do another contest. Maybe we'll announce it next week or in the next
I can come up with
weeks.
The contest. Whoever can send us the most different pictures of PS3s on rabbit's heads. Go.
I did want to do another Photoshop one, similar to what I did.
You can do it.
Last year, the movie game Photoshop.
Yeah, you remember the mashup or whatever you called it.
Yeah.
Where you like stuck a movie in
The Sims Blue Collar Edition.
Yeah, that's
You did like the movie and like your favorite Happy Meal together or something like that. I forget what it was.
I did The Sims.
Yes. Mascot did The Sims.
I lost.
So look for a new contest in the coming weeks as I decide. And decide on a prize too.
You have so much crap to give out. You just, you know, whoever emails me first wins a bunch of crap.
First person to email the show will get a PS3 lanyard.
That's it. That's the show email. Go ahead.
The first, literally, all right, the first person who emails the show
they can't just email with a smiley face. You gotta put something in there, right?
They gotta
type something, right? Not just email, because we want to have something to read, don't we?
I don't know.
I don't know what they're gonna tell us, though.
The first person, after you hear this show...
I'm hearing it.
Who's not actually here. The first person who's not here
Scott's kind of got a, you know, insider information here.
I know.
And what's our email? You know, and by the time I figure out the email, it's going
to
be...
And you will type the word cashew to...
Cashew.
I don't know. Do you want... I don't know. I don't care what they...
Yeah, you got to... They gotta type... I don't know. They got to let us know...
tell us why we're the greatest show on the planet.
Yeah, there you go.
Tell us why you stuck with us for 84 episodes.
Exactly. Yeah, that sounds good. Or well, they'll just say because you guys are boring and I have nothing better to do. And how about just let us know what the last game you played was, if that was even 5 minutes before you wrote, and what your thoughts are.
Okay.
And if it had smell-o-vision.
That's cheating.
The first person will get to email us after the show gets released. First person to email us about what game they're playing, what game they're currently playing, will get a PS3 lanyard from me. I'll send it out ASAP. But don't everyone go and send me your address and all that. Just I'll email you when you're the first person.
Yeah, because Ben will stalk you.
Yeah.
You realize
like that.
Yeah, especially if, you know, if we get, you know, like 200 emails. I don't want everybody to feel like we'll spam them for whatever reason.
We're not going to spam anybody. You'll stalk them with your DS and Picto chat, but that's beside the point.
Yeah. Okay. That wraps up another exciting episode. You stay classy, listeners. Anyone got anything?
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
That's not your mommy.
All right. Anything else?
I think that does it.
All right.
Good night now.
All right. Are we done? Right. Can I hit stop on this bad boy?
Yeah.
All right. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right. Wait. I was never recording.
All right. Now that the rehearsal is over, let's record the real show.
Let's do the show. All right.
Burr! Burr!
You smell like the ad now.
All right, so
he probably does. He's probably been rubbing the ad on him while we're talking to him. Anyway. And going, yeah, Dale's my guy.